Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, your host for the next hour, as we venture deeper into our inner spiritual life with Jesus, and the amazing life and love he is offering us. Life is always better with Jesus. So thank you for tuning in, and I'm very grateful to be back. I broadcast remotely on the radio 2 weeks ago. Wasn't on Facebook. I missed you all very much. And then last week, I was off completely because I was entertaining. I had company. And so welcome back, and I'm glad to be back. And I just pray you'll hang in with me for the next hour, and we'll see what the Lord has waiting for us, okay? Because it's funny, things happen with me just like they happen with you when these shows are going on. And so I'm very grateful to be here. I wanted to start with a prayer, shorter Christian prayer book. It's a Catholic prayer book for the usually it's the laity that uses it. It has morning prayers and evening and night prayers in it. And they're beautiful. And it's a good thing to try to pray those when you can. So here's a prayer. And I wanted to start with that, if you don't mind. Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you have renewed the face of the earth. Your church throughout the world sings you a new song, announcing your wonders to all. Through a virgin, you have brought forth a new birth in our world. Through your miracles, a new power. Through your suffering, a new patience. In your resurrection, a new hope. And in your ascension, new majesty. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless our time together today and be with us as we look at things. I wanted to share a little bit with you. I was at an event yesterday for the Little Sisters of the Poor. It was a fundraiser. It was a gala. It was lovely, of course. It was the first time I had been there, and I went, I was invited, but I went primarily because of all of the attacks that have been put upon them over the last few years by the current administration and in our government. I don't know how to say it in the right way, but basically they have been taken to court numerous times because they offer, just a regular health care plan, and it does not, because of their consciences and their apostolate, they cannot offer birth control and abortions to employees. Those employees are perfectly capable of going outside of the religious order and getting additional insurance if that's what they desire. But the sisters themselves absolutely cannot provide that, and it's supposed to be excluded because of it's a religious organization and it's a nonprofit, and because of the work that they do. And if you don't know the Little Sisters of the Poor, they, for a hundred and God knows how many years, they have been serving the poorest of the poor and the elderly. who have no one or to take care of them, or whose families just don't have the ability to do it themselves. This is not for rich people. This is for people that really need help. And so they only take 2 holidays a year. They take 2 days, nothing overnight, no vacation, where they go somewhere, like to the shore for the day. Okay? They sacrifice themselves, along with their volunteers, to be there 24/7, 7 days a week. They don't take a day off. Okay? They do the best they can to observe their Sundays. You know, they go to Mass and do what they have to do. But they are there to take care of these people who can't take care of themselves. They are selfless. They love these people. They are really extraordinary. Extraordinary. The love they have in their hearts is, you know, inspiring. And so I went to this event, and I'll tell you quite honestly, when Sister Victoria, I think, I can't remember her name, sorry, but when she got up to speak and she talked about the history of the order and the joy in her heart of what it's like to serve others, and to not be obsessed with yourself and your own freedoms all the time, just moved me so much. I mean, I work with Mother Teresa's sisters. They have that same kind of joy and love and commitment. And, you know, I just was sitting there with tears in my eyes because I feel so grateful that I am in the Catholic Church. These religious orders and priests that do the same kind of thing, as well as our diocesan priests and the bishops and stuff, they are called to be selfless in so many ways. They're called, and the Lord has given them the grace to do it joyfully. You know, like for me to think of having like no vacation and all this sort of thing is so foreign to me and so it's just not my calling in any way, shape, or form. I'm happy to volunteer. I'm happy to do what I can within my vocation as a married woman and as a lay person involved in catechesis and on the radio. But to give up everything and only do that, is a real calling from God. We're not all called to do the same thing. Saint Paul tells us in Scripture that many people and many gifts, and the Lord talks about the body of Christ and the, you know, the foot and the hand, they're different, but they're essential. And so we all do our own part. But I'm so grateful to be Catholic, because if you look for it, will see the most beautiful things in our church. Everybody outside thinks that we're just the worst people on the planet. Not everyone, but a lot of people think we're just the worst people on the planet. They think, you know, so ill of us. If they would just expose themselves to the reality of what goes on in the church, the love and the service. And it's not just the religious orders. My friends in my parish, they sacrifice a great deal to serve each other, to serve the church, to serve the poor, the lonely. You know, if you are a person struggling because you don't have a sense of purpose in your life, you don't feel like, you know, you're not gratified by what you're living, what the world has to offer you, like, you know, to make more money, to have prestige in your job and have people looking up to you all the time, or you know, to be thin, or you know, there's a multitude of ways that the world tries to teach us that you know, if we just go there, we're going to be happy. But in reality, you know, I'm sure some of you listening to me, you're not real happy right now, because when we're not made to be lone rangers, so to speak. We are made to be in community. We are made to be a part of society in a constructive way. We're to be a part of church in a constructive way. And the most important thing that we do is to have the heart of a giver. All jobs are in service of someone or something. It's always a job of service. Whether we're you know, even if we make something, we are making something for someone else. If we are providing a service to a corporation or people, if we're selling something, it's always in service of others. We have to change this idea that has come become very popular in our nation over the last few decades. We train our children, we work them to the bone so that they get scholarships. And so a lot of times they're robbed of their childhood because we're so worried about them not having their college education when they're 9 years old. Okay. Yes, we have to think about it. We have to plan for it. But life isn't all about making money. It's about being a complete person, a person in union with Jesus Christ who does make money and makes as much money as they can in order to share it, not just to be greedy and put it into their pockets. We have a duty to reach out of ourselves, to teach our children the beauty of serving others in volunteer work, or helping the elderly neighbor, or babysitting and laughing with other children. There's so many ways to just bring joy into our own lives by serving others, as well as into the lives of those we serve. When you go to an event like I went to yesterday, you know, you're so inspired. You know that true joy comes from giving of self. If you're depressed, call someone with the motive that maybe they haven't heard from you in a long time and how happy they would be to hear from you. Or maybe they haven't heard from you in a long time and would just might need a little boost themselves. Ask them how they are. What you up to these days? You know, somebody in a wheelchair, you might not be able to go out and be at a soup kitchen, but you can certainly, most of the time, call someone, and you absolutely can pray for people. That's our mission. We find what we can do, and we try to do it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I wanted to start with that just to encourage you, especially those of you who might be young people. You're very unhappy with the way the world is right now. And instead of just being overcome by that negativity, call up the local Catholic parish and say, you know, I need to give myself away somehow to someone who's hurting or whatever and or hungry. How can I do that? You know, first of all, you can look in your own neighborhood, but you know, if you want to go really go outside of yourself, go and serve really poor people. And it helps to you in two ways. It shows you how very fortunate you are, actually, to have what you have and to do what you do. And secondly, you it lifts you up because you know you're helping someone else. That giving of self is ingrained in us. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and he is constantly giving. He is constantly loving. And so within us is that hunger to do the same. So please, please reach out. Okay. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to share with you today's part of today's gospel, where Jesus is talking about, hold on a second, I got to get out my piece of paper. You know, I come in here and I get all organized, and then I realize that something is missing and I didn't notice it. So I'll look it up in a minute. But basically, in it, he talks about the light of the world. And Jesus says, "No one who who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light." Okay? That scripture goes along with where he's referring to himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And the other one is, I think that was from St. Luke, I'm not sure. But this is from Matthew. It says, us are the light of the world. Jesus is speaking. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It's set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light," he's talking to believers, "your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." Okay, now, please bear with me. I really wanted to share with you. I know where I put it. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I want to read you what he said about this light thing. All right. Bishop Barron. It was his reflection today. "Friends, today's gospel is the parable of the lamp, which placed on a lampstand gives light to all. Light obviously isn't for itself. Rather, we see things by it. It illuminates things upon which it shines. We are light by which people around us come to see what is worth seeing. By the very quality and integrity of our lives, we shed light, illumining what is beautiful and revealing what is ugly. The clear implication is that without vibrant Christians, the world is a much worse place." I'm going to repeat that part. "We are light by which people around us come to see what is worth seeing. By the very quality and integrity of our lives, we shed light, illumining what is beautiful and revealing what is ugly. The clear implications is that without vibrant Christians, the world is a much worse place." He goes on to say, "Let me illustrate this principle with an example. One of the most painful truths of the last century is that the weakness of Christian witness allows some of the worst elements in society to flourish. Think of the rise of the evil powers that created World War II. Christianity had become so weak, so uncompelling, so attenuated, that great evil was allowed to flourish. Yes, indeed, there were a handful of powerful Christian resistors, but let's face it, The overwhelming vast majority of Christians either supported Hitler or remained in silence out of either fear or indifference. So what he is saying here and what the scriptures refer to is we have not only a responsibility, but we also have a great and glorious mission of representing Jesus Christ in the world. He is the light of the world. He is the answer to all, each and every problem, each and every challenge in the world. And he's what satisfies the hearts for love and mercy and compassion in each individual person. He is everything. And we have a great, great privilege of with his grace, being people of integrity and, an ethical living and love and compassion and sharing and worshiping and being in community together. If the world sees us doing that, it's attracted not so much to us, but to what makes you click. Why are you happy when the rest of the world is sad? Why do you have peace when you suffer? It's attractive to people that don't know it. And so we live it, and they want to know where it comes from, and then we introduce them to the joy of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So I'll come back to that light subject again later, but I wanted to revisit the live broadcast I did 2 weeks ago. Just a little review to lead into the rest of the hour. Basically, I pointed out that we believers have been given a challenging and glorious mission, chosen by God, chosen by God to be witnesses of faith, hope, and love for such a time as this. It's a planned mission that you and I were created for. It is not by chance that you are a Christian living in this world at this time. You have been created for now, and the mission that the church and the Lord has for Christians in this day and age, for such a time as this. But to be able to carry out our mission, he is calling us into a deeper, more faithful relationship with him, to prepare us for that mission and also to prepare for things that are to come in the world. Okay? Good and bad. Okay? I'm going to touch on a few of the things that I talked about 2 weeks ago, but if you didn't hear it, you can listen to the podcast of it. You go to inhissign.com. Inhissign.com. You click up in the right-hand corner on the little lines and click on content and then click on podcasts and look down, you know, three or four of them, and you'll see Duke in Altum. That's my show, 9924. I think it's one of the most important podcasts that I've done. So I encourage you to go inhissign.com, content, podcasts, and Duke in Altum and September 9th. Anyway, from 2 weeks ago, we have a theme of hope because next year is the Jubilee year, and the Pope has declared that the theme of that year is hope. You know, being wise, he understands that the world needs hope, not just us, but the world needs hope. So that's what we're focusing on. And I, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the two types of hope. One is cultural or secular hope. It generally ignores God, relies purely upon human means to provide hope, you know, belief in humanity, without very little, if any, belief in God. And then that's the cultural secular hope, okay, the hope of the world. We Christians, we have a different kind of hope. It comes from knowing, trusting, and having confidence in who God is and the promises that he has made, especially the promises through Jesus Christ, because he was very specific and very open speaking about the promises of God. It's not a wishing type of hope. It's a confidence type of hope. We hope in humanity, of course. We always hope for the best of all people and from all people. But first and foremost, our hope is in God, who has revealed himself to us as being alive and in our lives and willing to and joyfully wanting to be in relationship with us and to help us make decisions and to do what we need to do. And what I talked about last week was, you know, to have genuine Christian hope, we must know God our Father in order to trust him. We must know. And if you haven't studied scripture, it's important to do that. Okay. But I touched last time on God the Father. Many believe that God the Father, revealed in the Old Testament, is mean, hard, judgmental, and not concerned for any peoples other than the Israelite and Jewish nation, as compared to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. This is absolutely not true. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God the Father's concern for all nations. He chooses the people of Israel to be his instruments for drawing all nations to him. He has truly the heart of a father. He chose the Jewish nation not because they were holy, but because of the profound faithfulness that he found there in different persons and in different situations. One of them primarily was Abraham. He formed a covenant with Abraham because of the faith that Abraham had. He created a covenant, an exchange of persons between him and Abraham. And so the Jewish nation became a light to the world, a witness of the benefits of living in union with him, to draw all nations and peoples to him, not just the Israelites. So I have to take a break. Please come back and we'll talk more about that and what I need to tell you for this week. Hang in there. Come back and be with me.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everyone. If you just joined us, welcome for the next half hour. Hope you'll hang in there with us. And if you're still here from the last hour, thank you for hanging in. I just wanted to make a little announcement. You might not be aware of it, but on Monday, October 14th, the station here is having the 13th annual golf tournament fundraiser at Talamore Country Club in Ambler, PA. T-A-L-A-M-O-R-E, Talamore Country Club. It's a wonderful, it's our main fundraiser. It is so much fun. You can, if whether you're male or female, child or adult, come and play golf with us. It is so much fun. There's round of golf, there's food, there's baskets and various collector's items that will be up there for you to bid on. And that's a lot of fun. I went for the first time last year, and the laughter and the joy and the sporting, and if you know anyone who loves to golf, you know, go on our website and sign them up. You know, give them a gift of a day of golf and fun and, you know, a friend of theirs or something like that. But if you are a golfer and you know other golfers who may not be affiliated with the station or even Catholic, invite them and get, you know, go and sign up and go. I promise you, you will not regret it. So if you're interested, you can go on our website, inhissign.com, and you can phone in at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, and register. It's a wonderful, wonderful time, and it's right around the corner. And you know, October is generally a lot of fun outside. You know, it's not too hot. You know, not too cold. So please join us. I'll be there. Come and introduce yourself to me so that I can get to know some of you firsthand and in person. I'd really, really love that. Okay. All right. So at the end, I was reviewing what I talked about a couple of weeks ago, the two types of hope, cultural and secular hope, and Christian hope. And in order to have genuine Christian hope, we must know God our Father in order to trust Him. And so a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about Him. A lot of people believe that He's this big bad bully in the Old Testament, as opposed to Jesus Christ, a nice, sweet God in the New Testament. But it's not true. We see in the Old Testament, if you study it at all, you see the Father's concern for all nations. He made a covenant with Abraham in the Jewish nations, and so with the Israelites, in order to reach all the nations. And so that was there. He entrusted the Israelites with the mission to be His ambassadors in the world. Yes, there were people that they were not allowed to associate with because of they were kind of weak, like little children sometimes. And when they were exposed to these like flashy gods and these flashy ways of living, that, you know, it was like, you know, you're in a child in a candy shop sometimes, you know, you think it's going to be wonderful, but it's, you know, you eat too much, you get sick. So he did have some rules about how much they could interact with the really sinful nations. But he never, never, ever rejected those nations completely. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because if he didn't, they were going to destroy spiritually destroy all of the remaining believers in His covenant. And so He didn't destroy them. He let them be destroyed. And He allowed it to save His people and to decrease the evil that, you know, was around you know. And the same thing with the flood. You know, Noah was saved because he and his family were righteous. They were in union with the Lord. They believed in him. They followed him. They were in relationship with him. Whereas the rest of the people of the world had become so hard-hearted that they couldn't come back to him. They refused. And he had to save Noah and his family. And to save them, he had to allow, you know, the catastrophe of the flood. Now, we don't understand those things because we're not God, but he knew what he was doing, and we have to understand that. Okay. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, I shared many examples of the proof of God's loving heart from the Old Testament, and how he was always open to anyone who sought a relationship with him, just like now. Even people who lived in deep sin and had great guilt for their sinful lives, their wickedness, he always has remained open. He's always remained open to anyone who sincerely seeks him and never turned his back on anyone who did. So as a result of knowing him from the Old Testament, we can more fully believe and understand the gospel passage that you see everywhere, John 3:16-17, and I'll read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Okay, now that's all I'm going to focus on from last week. So now we understand that he has always loved us. He has always loved all nations. He has always been like the prodigal father, waiting, hoping, praying that we come back home. Not to criticize us, not to judge us, but to welcome us back into relationship with him. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Whether you're a believer or not, he is waiting for you. So, you know, we see how he loves us. We see how he responds to us when we respond to him. But we also see many, many, many people today rejecting him. They've walked away from him, from the church. They've walked away from relationship with others, with him. You know, it's a great, great sadness in the world right now. You know, I said at the opening about how he has been reaching out, especially over the last 20 years, to believers, trying to draw us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with him, and to prepare us for the time in which we live. Okay? And it says that he was preparing us for what is to come. And I've seen that myself in many ways. There's a profound interest in deep contemplative prayer that has been growing over the last 20 years. There is a profound awakening in young people. You know, they are an example to us. The ones that are out, you know, in the churches now, they're reverent. They believe in Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. They believe in prayer. They believe in being in community with each other. They believe in being what a Christian is supposed to be. You've got young men in the seminaries, young women in the formation for religious life that are on fire, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to take on the world, even with all the challenges. That is the grace of God. He's preparing the world with us, with these young people, to make a difference, to make changes that will help all of society. So I'm going to share some things that have been predicted. You see it all over the internet. You see it in scripture. It's everywhere. Our Lady has appeared multiple times over the last 150 years or so, warning us about what life is like when we turn our backs on God, how it affects the world. You know, and in Bible scriptures, we'll see here, Bible scriptures predict many horrible things to come as we draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ's return, especially as nations reject and turn away from him. Our Lady appeared numerous times calling us to turn from wickedness, pray, especially pray the rosary for peace, to return to the Lord our God with our whole hearts. Okay, be real Christians. If we don't, she says, she has warned us, horrible things will happen because we as nations have turned away from God, which decreases the graces and help he wishes to give us. We shut the door on him. We shut the door on the gifts he wants to give us. He gives us over to our own desires when we turn away from him, and it breaks his heart. You read it all through scriptures. He always is trying to bring people back to him. He warns. He allows things to happen. Like during the COVID shutdown, I attended a conference, that was in Rome via Zoom. And one of the priests who was the speaker, he was talking about, you know, people have a tendency to think that when things like pandemics happen, that it's always a punishment. And he says, no, these things are not always a punishment. Sometimes they are. But he says more often than not, they are chastisements. In other words, it's like, this is what life is like without me. It's an act of love, actually, that to draw us back to him, for us to realize that our doctors are not God, our politicians are not God, we are not gods. We are vulnerable when we aren't in union with God. And so he's calling us back as an act of love, actually, a chastisement. Just like sometimes we have to chastise our children. It's not necessarily punishment. It is for them to wake up and to see what's wrong and what needs to be changed. And that's what the Lord does many, many times. But if we stay in communion with him and we are a believing nation, and if we are living in union with him, in relationship with him, where we walk in the cool of the evening of the garden with him, that's when things are so wonderful. And we repeatedly throughout history have, instead of going with him, we put our trust in politicians. We put our trust in humanity to be God, in ourselves to be God. We don't need him. You know, we're smart, we're intelligent, we can do whatever needs to be done to heal the world. Well, no, I'm sorry. We can't. And we're not made. We weren't created to be like that. So there's very many current predictions as well that very difficult and challenging times are coming. They're already here, and they're going to get worse in the future. These warnings are actually a means to help us prepare for those difficult times and inspire us to action, not so much to scare us. There are people who are obsessed with these predictions and with these messages in a way that's negative. It's like, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's, you know, there's nothing we can do, and you know, it's all about the people who don't believe. that's causing these problems. You know, the Lord is unhappy with the people who don't believe, and they're not, but it's really, in reality, it's us Christians who have the responsibility to be the light of the world by being close to Him, knowing His will, living His will, encouraging others to live His will and to be in relationship with Him. That brings the world up. And there's many scriptures about how God's people are the ones who bring great graces to the world when they are living as the Lord has asked them to do. All right, but you know, many of these predictions have already come true. Today, most nations have turned away from God. You can see it. It's all over the place. They're trying to solve all the world's problems and issues by secular means, basically apart from and minimally, if at all, seeking God's assistance. Basically, they've slammed the door shut to God's help. And He must honor that, because we must freely choose Him and His help. And people throughout the world are doing what is right in their own eyes. And that means what's right for me is right for me, and it's, you don't have any, you know, I don't have any concern about how that affects you. It's, I want to do what I want to do, you know. And that's we're seeing a lot of that today, and the Bible is full of examples of that throughout history. You know, the Lord came and told us the two most important commandments. Even if you're not a believer, at least one of them should hold water for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Okay? With all of your heart, mind, and soul. Not just whenever it's convenient, you know, or whenever you get around to it. All your heart, mind, and soul. Every moment of every day, being in union with Him, in relationship, hearing His voice, listening for His voice. All right. And love your neighbor. In the Old Testament, it was as yourself. In the New Testament, Jesus gave us a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. How did He love? Wholeheartedly, selflessly, joyfully, generously, even His enemies, by the grace of God, which He has given us through the Holy Spirit, we can do that too. And He's called us to that. So if we're loving our neighbor as Jesus loved us, loves us, then how can we be absolutely demanding our way or the highway? What we want to do, regardless of how it hurts anyone else or how it affects young children or the future of the world, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. We have lost our sense of community. We have lost our understanding that we were made to be in community with each other, to be neighbors who communicate with each other, who live close to each other, who eat together, who party together, who serve together, who settle our differences by listening to each other. The internet and social media has caused us to withdraw into little shells of people who don't even hardly have an understanding anymore of what life is all about. We were made for each other. We were not made to be little islands sitting in front of a screen all the time, or doing all of our communication away from each other, hardly ever seeing each other. Thank God we have it for when we need it. But we've got to get back to being in person with each other, to making phone calls and talking to each other, you know, sending cards whether it's on the internet or in person, so that people have something to touch, to know that you're alive and that you still care, not just because you might have sent them a text, love ya. No, real community. We were not created to be separated from God, first of all, to do our own thing, make ourselves into little mini gods or our politicians or whoever. We were created to be in community and in union with Him primarily. The number one thing about these predictions that I want to share with you is there is always the big, giant word, if. If. The big, giant word, if. The predictions in Scripture, the predictions with Our Lady, the current prophecies out there, there's always an if there. These things, these hard things are going to happen if people turn away, if people don't return to the Lord, if people are not loving their neighbors as Jesus loved him. You know, it's there's always if. And the bright side is, if we Christians, us, forget about blaming the world for the problems. Sorry, y'all. Quit blaming the world. It's difficult to live in this world now. But part of the difficulty is a lot of us don't go to church anymore. A lot of us don't listen to Catholic radio or Christian radio. A lot of us are letting our lives be filled with all of that negativity and all that hatred and all the division that the politics and everything are. We don't, like yesterday was a blessing to be at that conference, I mean that gala with the with all of those believers, where you see the beauty of what's still going on in the world, where you see people who are filled with joy because of the Lord. You have to be in community with believers. Otherwise, you shrivel up and die. You lose hope. You lose the ability to dream and envision what God wants to do when we're all in community working together. And it's the most wonderful thing that He wants for us. Some of us don't read the Scriptures, the Bible. We don't read about the saints. We just go along like little zombies. We're believers, but we're like on the surface. He wants you to come down into the depths with Him, walk with Him, be with Him, love Him. Let him love you. And take that out to the world. He wants that. And He needs ambassadors. He needs us to be the ones who go out and say, being a Catholic Christian is the greatest joy in the world. And it is when we step into it. When we step into it and let Him love us and show Himself to us. It's the most wonderful thing. Oh, I can't. It makes me sad when I see people walking around in darkness, people not having any hope, looking only at what the world has to offer instead of what God is dying to give us. Well, God died to give us in Jesus Christ and rose again and brought the Holy Spirit to us. If we Christians don't like what we're seeing in the world and are concerned about what all is happening here, I know that you all are. I know it. I hear it every day. You know, you be the change you wish to see, as Gandhi used to say. Gandhi in India. You be the change you wish to see. Forget about what others are doing or not doing. All right? Focus on what you, in your relationship with God, need to work on. Focus on being in community. Go back to church. Please, I'm begging you. You hear the word of God. You pray together with others. You see people who are maybe not full of joy all the time, but people who have hope because they have lived that hope and they have had prayers answered and they can encourage you. You can learn from them. You receive the Holy Eucharist. Receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity to strengthen you, prepare you, renew you, and to give you all that you need. It's just limitless what you get. But like with the grace of God and his assistance, you can be that influence. You can be a person who loves boundlessly, a person who has all the strength needed to do what God gives you to do. In your little part of the world, you do not have to go out to the rest of the world and do something out there unless you're called. If you're called, go. But if you're not, be that person in your own world. Mother Teresa used to also say, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. I mean, really love them. But family also it includes not only your, you know, immediate family, includes your entire family, includes your church family, it includes your friends, it includes strangers, it includes enemies. By the grace of God, we can be like Jesus Christ and do that, okay? It requires a desire to be close to the Lord so our efforts will be the most attractive and most effective. There's so much power and grace that will be poured out on the world if we Christians do what we need to do to get right with God first, and then to take that out into the world empowered by the holy God of the universe, the Creator who made you and filled you with the experiences you've had that can be transformed into a light in the world. Light of the world. We Christians hold so much of the world's hope in our hands. We can cooperate with the Lord and bring great and good things. And so I have to go, and I thank you for listening to me. I'll be back next week, and I just ask you, until we're together, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me, pray for Kathleen, all the broadcasters, the entire crew here, and everyone involved with this ministry. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.